NBA basketball fans, welcome back to the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to talk the NBA Finals, and boy, do we have a series now. The Heat pull another comeback, something that we've documented on the show and all the 10-point comebacks they have this year during the postseason. The Miami Heat tie this series up 1-1. Of course, we'll recap last night, how they did it, a variety of ways, obviously, but they knocked down shots. That was the key. They hit some big shots, in certain clutch moments. And then also on the Denver side, I mean, if you look at the odds now, it all of a sudden shrunk for them winning the series comparatively to where it was after game one. Their defense, or lack thereof, of defense intensity, showed up. It was there in game one as far as showing up, not being there. But Miami could not hit a shot. That's the biggest thing. We do have some audio of Coach Malone breaking it all down, but he makes a point, and it's kind of like the first time this postseason where you're like, huh, Denver not playing good enough defense, and it's clear now. So let's see what this means. But either way, I'm really happy as a basketball fan that we have a 1-1 series, because down to zip, we have to win 4 out of 5. One of those have to be on the road against Denver clicking. It just didn't seem all that possible. Not to say Denver won't win the series, but it's a lot more interesting. So we're going to break down game two. We'll kind of correlate that to game one as well as we recap, and then look forward to what, you know, both my co-host and I were sitting here talking before we hit record saying, you know, this thing's going game six now, at least. And let's hope we get a game seven. So we'll talk all about it. We also have a Kyrie Irving report that I actually forgot to talk about with my co-host. But the report of – it's just so goofy, dude. It's just perfect. It's just Kyrie. Let's just put it that way. It's the Dallas, LeBron. It's just like, really, dude, is this really what you're thinking? That this is your leverage? You think – what are they going to give them? Anyway, we'll get into it in just a second. And then, of course, like I said, we'll preview and predict a couple games coming up, what we feel like is going to happen. We've already made our full prediction. We're not going to budge away from that. But overall, this thing just got really, really interesting. This is your first time listening to the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast. Welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. However, you don't have to go to Blog Talk and Rope It Dope and download the show directly there. You can find this basketball show under Rope It Dope Radio on Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, and a host of other places. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com and Sports News 24. One more thing, get your TV together without the hassle of cable. Stream the best entertainment in sports, starting with 75 live channels. Plus, learn how to get premium channels included for the first 3 months with qualifying packages. No annual contract, no hidden fee. Sign up today. DirecTV Stream. Okay. They do have a really good deal where they're taking $10 off per month for 3 months. You should definitely check it out, DirecTV Stream. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall. What's going on, Marshall? You know, I just – being down 2-0 to this squad, having to win 4 out of 5, like I said, it would have been really, really tough, man. We know it's not impossible, but it's tough. So now that we got a 1-1 series, like I said, this thing is wide open. And it just made it that much more interesting. You're on mute, sir. Maybe you're having problems with the mute. I don't know.
Good morning. Good afternoon. I'm here. All right. This has to be the best true team in the playoffs. Now, most skilled, probably not. But the best overall.
We're talking about Denver?
When I think of just from like a coaching standpoint, like they don't give a shit. You had their craziness against Milwaukee, down 14 points in a couple different fourth quarters. No big deal. They made the Knicks look like an embarrassment. Boston, you blow three games off. We'll just come back and win 7. Like, this is a true just overall team. And it's just scary how good they are. Now, from a skill standpoint, Chris, for sure, Denver probably has more skill. If you were to be the GM of a team, who would you take, Miami or Denver? You're probably going to take Denver because they have Jokic and they have Murray. You got an athletic guy like Michael Porter Jr. But I just think and it comes down to even the GM and the head coach, who I rave about him every day. We were talking about Taylor Swift having a concert coming up. I guess I'm like a boy band fan for Spoelstra. But, dude, it's just such a well-run organization.
You can't just throw that out that we were talking about a goddamn – you got to add some context if you're going to talk about – we were talking about Taylor Swift.
Yeah, we were thinking about going to a boxing –
we're talking about a boxing match, okay, that happened to do with hotels in Minneapolis. Jeez Louise.
So it is just – and I think the part of the reason why the team is resilient is just because of just the nucleus of the squad that they are. Because a lot of teams could be rattled, and I just don't. If you can bounce back and win multiple games, you're down 12 to 13 to 14 points on the road. Like, I just don't think anything phases them. I think the whole world thought that after you blew a 3-0 lead and then had a heartbreaking loss on a tip in for game 6, that, hey, you're going to go back to Boston, yeah, place to be jumping. Didn't care. Like, again, could the Nuggets win the title? 100%. But will it be due to Miami, like, folding or, like, chickening out? Like, no. This team's DNA is insane. So it doesn't overall surprise me that they won game 2. And I mentioned the DNA of the team because one of my main points, which you referenced with the post-conference, was, and I like Mike Malone. A lot of coaches in sports, any sport we talk about for our podcast, whether it's football, basketball, we're BSing about hockey, soccer, any sport. So many coaches just give you that cliche media soft-driven answer. Malone has now called his team out multiple times in the playoffs saying, like, my team wasn't ready to play. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, they came out flat. He called him out against the Lakers. And he called him out last night about how, hey, like, my guys weren't playing that good. We came out flat. It's game 2 of the finals at home. I'm not quite sure why we did it that way, but it was kind of an embarrassing start, and it is what it is. But again, why would a team choose to have an embarrassing start, Chris, when you're at game home in the finals? You never even won a championship. Like, what? You're taking your foot off the gas in your head coach's mind for what? Like, this ain't Jordan and the Bulls. Like, it was a surprising comment to be made, and also shows you again the mental mindset of, well, the Heat ain't taking a game off. You sure as hell better not.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we were talking about, a lot of people have been talking about, man, they just didn't, you know, Miami couldn't hit shots in the first game. And you could have looked and said, you know, Butler could have had, you know, 13 or 15 assists, you know, in game 1. I mean, they just weren't hitting shots. I mean, you know, Martin had a good game, but if you – or no, not Martin. Martin was actually 1 for 7, and Strus was 0 for 10 in that game 1. I mean, these shots were wide open, and we'll get into that a little bit, you know, deeper as the show goes on here, as we get into some detail, and we'll talk about that audio. But just talking about the actual game, Kevin Love actually didn't do a ton. He wasn't the starting lineup, though. Didn't see a bunch of minutes down the stretch or anything like that, but you know, Strus came out. Next thing you know, he's like 3 of 4. I think he ended up 4 of 7 from 3 or something. I mean, he was going nuts. And they got a big, you know, it was like 21-10. They got a nice lead. But then just like that, you know, it's all of a sudden a really tight game. And you're like, I think they got up to like 24-12 or something like that. But then all of a sudden Denver came, you know, rushing back. And they were on a 16-3 run in less than 4 minutes, and they got the lead. Now all of a sudden they're up like, you know, 48-35, and you're like, what the hell just happened to this? Denver was like 6-7 from the field goal, or, you know, from field goal range. They were just on fire, and you're thinking, well, it was a good run, but this isn't going to, you know, they're screwed now. They had their little chance to have a hot start, but, you know, it didn't work out. That's what it kind of felt like. Like, wow, you just gave up. And someone actually tweeted that they gave up Miami gave up a 40-14 run and still won the game on the road. Like, that shit was really crazy. But key for Miami is cut that lead. They had an 8-0 or 10-0 run, something like that. Cut it to 57-51. And, you know, Jokic really came alive scoring. I think he had 18 in the third quarter, ended with like 31 points, I think, in that quarter. And they were just spreading the ball. And you know, I mean, Butler, speaking of spreading the ball, he was spreading the ball. Bam was doing his thing. But like I said, the third quarter was definitely Jokic. And what was it, 83-75, something like that, at the end of the third. Miami had times where they're caught up to him and then would push back. Caught up to him. I think they tied it up 66-66 at the 8:32 mark. But then it was like, well, Denver did Denver again. And then Duncan Robinson went nuts, like you said, hit 2 threes, scored nine. Miami just scored 9 quick points. I think he had 10, all 10, Duncan Robinson, in the third or in the fourth. And they hadn't had that lead since that first quarter jump, and then all of a sudden it was 86-85 after a 10-0 run. And I think they started out 6-for-6 in the first 3 or 4 minutes of that fourth quarter. And it was like, okay, here we go. We're tied up. And then they actually extended the lead. And some of the things that you're talking about, the head coach talking about, Malone, Pope fouling Lowry on a three. I think they had two other jump shoot, you know, the discipline fouls on jump shooters. And it was like, shit, I think there was like a 29-12 run. And, you know, I mean, it was like, what the hell's going on? And 4 or 5 from 3, 9 of 10 from field goal range and fourth. But then all of a sudden, Denver started coming back. Yeah, they stretched it to 107-95. Back-to-back three-pointers. A mid-ranger, boom, by Murray, I think it was. I think Murray hit a three, and it was 109-106. And you're like, uh-oh, hold on. But in the end, they did get it done. Butler, who struggled from the field, came up clutch down the stretch. They got the job done, but, you know, you could definitely see that defensively, you know, that's the only thing that you could really point to Denver this season is, and just as a whole, the last couple seasons, was defense. We knew that their offense was great, but we've seen a pretty solid – it's kind of like a team that has a top-5 offense in football, right? And then if you can be like top 15, top 20 defense, you're going to be fine. You know, you're going to be okay, especially if you have a really good quarterback. Well, that's always what it kind of felt like. They weren't playing just crazy defense, per se, in this postseason, but it was better. It was like a notch up. It was like that – extra notch up. And you're right, I mean, they in both games they weren't playing great defense. They did let, you know, they did have letdowns defensively, and mostly the Heat hit shots. That was the biggest difference. And I do want to kind of reference that. I'll play the Michael Malone press conference clip, and then I'll let you take over, sir, because he didn't really say it like that.
I mean, this is the NBA Finals, and we're talking about effort. That's a huge concern of mine. And tonight, you know, that the starting lineup to start the game is 10-2 Miami. Start the third quarter. And we just got, you know, we had guys out there that were just, whether feeling sorry for themselves and not making shots or thinking they can just turn it on or off. Miami came in here and outworked us. There's game plan breakdowns, personnel breakdowns. As I mentioned after game one, the fact that they got 16 wide open threes was concerning. They didn't make them. And so we got lucky in game one. Tonight they made them. So it was definitely a breakdown in communication. It was definitely a breakdown in our game plan. And we had a hard time getting stops. And then we had a hard time getting made baskets on the other end.
So, I mean, pass it back to you, though. What'd you think of that fourth quarter? And just in general, now up they've tied like three teams, I think, three or four teams. Now, and something we've documented as well, seven comeback, 10-plus point comebacks in postseason here. Let's say they trailed by 15 at one point. The Heat had seven of them in back-to-back years, 2011-2012, the Warriors last year, and now the Heat this year. Just that never-say-die mentality. But what'd you think of this fourth quarter and how they just went on a rampage? But Denver, to their credit, damn near caught up and forced OT.
I think the fact that you're getting the Duncan Robinson from 3 years ago is huge. This is a guy that, like, when he came to Miami, was on, like, a great run. He kind of degressed for the past 2 years. Now he's kind of found his rhythm again. Also, you have for the, like, literally for the past, for the whole playoffs.
And it wasn't just all shooting either outside.
No.
You know? He actually would go to the rack and stuff like that.
And
he only took
again,
three threes, you know?
Yeah. And it seems like literally every single game, Strus and Vincent and Martin hit shots for you. So, yes, like, Jimmy Butler's the captain. But in that it's either Robinson, Strus, or Vincent and Martin, and like one of them's doing something. And I think that's one of the reasons why, again, they are where they are, is because you have a selfless team. There's so many teams, even the NBA, where it's like, well, this is our guy, this is our guy, we're good. When you watch the Heat play, Chris, I really don't feel that offensively. Like, they have an offense, and I remember talking about this when we did our podcast when they started that series up against Boston, where I remember referencing to you literally about how when you – their offense, it's consistently setting pick and rolls on the perimeter and someone gets a wide open shot. They've mastered it down. But you can do that because that means you have faith in your teammates that, hey, I'm not going to shoot, but I'm going to give the ball to my boy and he's going to hit the shot. And – it's super hard to do because you do have Jimmy Butler and Bam who can take you off the dribble or kill you in the middle. But a guy like Vincent or Strus or freaking Duncan Robinson or Martin, they're really not that big and tough. They're actually – Miami's a small team. But
especially compared to Denver, who's super long.
Yes, but they don't need to be big because they just hit you up for threes. So the
and they're on the right spots defensively.
Yeah, of the way they pass the ball is it's a fun offense to watch. It's not quite like Steph and Clay where it's like bang, pull, spot up threes, like splash, go on a crazy run. But they just move the ball around so well that if you watch like the highlights of a Miami Heat game on YouTube, you're going to see corner three, corner three, corner three, corner three. And a lot of them, as Mike Malone said, are either uncontested or they're the defender. You see a defender like running in to get your feet set, and that makes people work. Now, I will say, now are the Heat obviously giving up Jokic points for free? No, but their mentality last night, especially in game two, was Jokic, you can do you. We're going to put like Zeller on you. We're going to put someone on you and you're going to get your points. But when you let Jokic get his points and no one else gets into a rhythm, that's an effective strategy yet again. So Jokic did go off last night. But the fact that you didn't see Porter or Murray or anyone else really get going, it's not a bad plan. That was sometimes the plan they had against Jordan. Now, obviously, Jordan, different situation of team. But it just referencing, Chris, like an elite player, sometimes in basketball, you want to let the elite player you're playing against get his, and everyone else will kind of just, you just hope everyone else, you know, you just beat them. And that's what they did last night. That was the I believe third or fourth time now in the playoffs where Jokic has scored over 40 points and his team has lost every game. Now, again, you're playing with fire. Like when a guy does hit 40, that is dangerous. And as you've seen, they really have no one that can guard Jokic due to his size and mobility and the Heat being a smaller team. But
you still got to make him work for it.
Yeah, which I think they did. But the fact that Murray didn't go on a heater, which he can do, or Porter Jr., who's been having a pretty rough series so far, didn't get his groove going. The plan's working. And again, credit for just sticking to the basics. Duncan Robinson had a really hot, he scored 8-9 points in 1 minute. And you start the fourth quarter, Denver had to call a timeout. and they just didn't fade away from that point on.
Yeah, and even a struggling Jimmy Butler was able to come through in the clutch. And it's, you know, we've documented a couple of things, right, you know, throughout this series, the comebacks and all that. But it is so true, like, giving up 30-something or 40-something to Jokic with less, you know, fewer assists, it is the formula. Now, it's weird to say that, but we've seen that in the past. I mean, guys are going to get theirs, but it's we were documenting it. We were talking about it. Obviously, it stood out when he had 53 points, right, and they lost. And like you said, over three now, 40 and above. But it gets even further with the assists. Forget the points. Just the assists in general. The Nuggets during the regular season are 34-4 when Jokic has 10 assists. When it's less than 10 assists, 14-17. And that's regular season. You never really know, you know, who they're playing in those games. If they're mediocre teams, weak teams, yada, yada, yada. So that definitely plays into it. And then the Heat, you get them in a tight game. The Heat have now tied the all-time record with the 44th game, regular season and playoffs combined, decided by 5 points or less. You get them in the game close. You have Jimmy Butler, whether it's creating or he gets his own shot, creating for others or his own shot, it just goes well. And actually, speaking of that 40 points thing, those three losses in 40-point games are tied for the most of any player in postseason NBA history. In the odds that that happens, again, it's down. But 40-10 finals game, you got Jokic, Shaq, Kareem, and Wilt. That's who you got there. And I know stats are weird, but here's another one. Someone tweeted the main thing forcing Jokic to be a scorer takes away the passing game. It reduces the number of threes. They only attempted 25 threes. 11 of them were either in transition or offensive rebound too, which, you know, that's where you really get. And he had more turnovers than assists. And that's the first time it's happened, Jokic, since February 10th. In that fourth quarter, the Heat shot almost 69%, man. And that's one of the best in the last 25 years. So, I mean, it's really interesting how this stuff plays out. But, yeah, man, it's like you kind of just like he's going to get his. You try to make it tough. You try to not have him catch the ball too close, right, because otherwise it's pretty much a wrap. He'll do that ugly-looking finger roll looping shot that he just has the touch on it. It doesn't look like there's touch, but clearly when you see the thing bounce around on the rim, there's touch. So, now, I'll say this. Was there some bad refereeing down the stretch, the missed goaltending by Bam, stepping out of the bounce by Jimmy down the stretch? Sure, no doubt. It was actually bad reffing in general, I'd say, on both sides. But you could point to that. But if you look at game one, you know, there was some pretty favorable calls, let's put that way. And this is why you also know it was defense by Denver, Marshall, because they shot 52%. From the field compared to almost 49%. They shot 39% from three. You know, they got to the free throw line. And so it wasn't a down performance. Hey, the shots just weren't going in. That wasn't the case. Now you could say that for, you know, Michael Porter Jr. or something like that. But everybody else wasn't struggling, you know, per se. So that's where you know it is defense and hustle and all that, because they played good. They played damn good offensively. You know, they didn't have 18 threes, but they weren't struggling from there. And then also game one, Miami had two free throws. Hey, they were two of two, 100%. But they only had two free throws, right? And now in this one, 18-20. You know, 18-20, which that really, really does you know, make a big difference in general. And Bam has just delivered. His last three finals game, backing it up to 2020, 24, 11, and 5 assists. He is, speaking of other shit, he is their point guard, dude. You know? I mean, he is a point guard as well for them. You know, we obviously give Jokic the most credit for being a big point guard and all that, but he's a damn good point guard himself. So now this series is wide, wide open. And me, both of us think, it's at least, you know, it's 1-1 or at, the Miami won't lose both home games. So now you're in game six in both of our minds. That's what I'm so happy about, dude, that we have a series because, you know, you go down 2-0, it's tough. Any other items from the fourth quarter or just in general when it comes to the first two games of the series as we move to Wednesday and Friday game?
No, I think we summarized it pretty well. Like we said, I'm happy that we have a 1-1 series. I guess my last point would have been, I really thought that if Miami would have won a game, it would have been game one due to the long layoff that Denver had. But I'll eat my words, and it was game two, so that's even more.
They look
more,
great, didn't they? They came out like 25-13. You're like, holy shit, rest.
Again, nothing phases this Miami team, though. Like, literally nothing. It's just they got the DNA of a hard-ass team to beat. So moving on to game three, as they do go from the Midwest mountain area to the East Coast. As my co-host just said, neither of us think it's going to be a sweep. I do think you will see a motivated, focused Denver. Maybe, you know, cause hell, we talk about egos that like I coach for my kids in high school have. Hell, NBA players have egos too. There probably was a part of Denver that's like, dude, we've not lost a playoff game at home all year. We're playing an 8 seed. Like, hey, we got this shit. Like we've been on a heater. We marched through the West. We're playing an 8 seed. Like, even NBA players probably have some type of certain arrogance and confidence, which, you know, that's sports. But now you did get punched in the mouth. I would assume you would see a very, very motivated Denver team come game three, who's going to be like, okay. And Denver, and to give them credit, Chris, Denver's proven they can win on the road this year. Like, they make pretty quick work in the Western Conference playoffs because they're winning at home and on the road. So if you are Miami, again, not that anything phases them. But just speaking from a Denver standpoint, I would be shocked if Denver comes out flat and you hear Mike Malone say that again, my friend. I think Denver's going to come out ready to go. Again, I'm not saying it's going to be like a 30-point beatdown, but I think we saw probably the laziest defense from the Nuggets we've seen all series. I think that is, you would assume, that might be a thing of the past, and you're going to see a little more of a valiant effort from Denver, especially come game three in Miami a few nights from now.
Now that may be true, right? And that is true. We don't know, actually, but I agree with you. I think we'll see just more attention to detail and all that. Now, Jimmy, you know, Butler, I can't believe finish that. You guys know I'm talking about Jimmy Butler, right? No, but
does someone else have the name Jimmy in this series? Yeah, I'm not aware of. Is the Nuggets trainer who does the laundry? Is his name Jimmy? It could be.
Right.
Probably not.
Like, how many basketball players are even Jimmy? Yeah, exactly.
Jimmy Fredette's back from BYU.
Yeah, Jimmer.
Oh shit!
I meant Jimmer. That's my bad.
Oh, okay. Talking about the most polar opposite athletes ever: Jimmer Fredette and Jimmy Butler.
Yeah,
anyways,
but they're both old school and they get it done. I actually saw Jimmy cooking on some kind of second rate. I don't even know what league it was. It was outdoor. They're playing outdoors. He was just cooking dudes. Anyway, back to this though. You know, game 7, 12-28, you know, game, and I'm talking about last series, Jimmy Butler. 5-21, you know, in game six, did start to cook late, just like he did, you know, in this last one. But beyond the ankle, right, because we can't just say it's the ankle because he has delivered some games since that ankle, I guess you could say, right? But overall, whether it's the ankle giving him issues, he's getting worn down. 6-14, 7-19. And like I said, that 7-19 looks a lot better now, but for a while it wasn't. I think it was 5-16 or something like that. Hit a couple in a row. It makes it look a little better. My point is, he's not getting to the free throw line at the same pace in general. He got there 5 times, didn't get to the line. Nobody really did in game one. But you can back it up, you know, to game 7, got there once comparatively, got there 14 times the other way. So my point is, whether it's a little to do with the ankle health-wise or he's just worn out, they're going to need Jimmy to be Jimmy, not just with 5 minutes left of the game like he's shown he can do, but he looks worn out. Long story short, that's me, long story. I just go too long sometimes. But, yeah, he kind of looks faded right now, and that's my big question right now for Miami, because we have this great team we talked about full of role players, not your average great team, like you said, on paper, but the pieces just fit in place. But the main piece has to deliver over the top. And of late, he just looks like he's wearing down. Now you're going to get a two-day break, have a game, then there's the every other, and then you're back on the two-day stuff. So that does help. But until I see Jimmy being Jimmy, not for that, but Jimmy Buckets, I still don't know if they can win this series, like, confidently.
I think that you need – I think Jimmy Butler – and so funny, I just saw a Taylor Swift commercial on TV. I think Jimmy Butler needs to win one game on his own. You need – so it, let's just say best case for Miami here, Chris. Let's just say Jimmy Butler wins game three or four, and then you piece together two more team victories, which, again, who are we to doubt this team? Who has surprised everyone freaking all day? I think it's doable. I think that the alpha side of him was, like, worn out in – not I shouldn't say worn out, but it was full alpha against Miami or against Milwaukee. Against the Knicks, that maybe wasn't quite as stressful. They did kind of quick work there. Again, against Boston, you kind of see the treads fall off the tires a little bit. Like, again, he's doing his part, but he worked his ass off again there because he really is that team alpha. Because when you watch Miami play – it's Duncan Robinson hitting a three. Martin hitting a three from up top. Strewster Vincent, they're driving in buckets. But at the end of the day, like, Butler's got the ball in his hands, and that whole offense kind of triculates around him. So, again, I think he's got to have one more, like, alpha game where he drops 30. And I think his teammates can do enough for him if they're to win this series. So I get what you're saying. And I don't think he has two or three big games left in, but I think if he gets one of those, if he puts on a game four where he goes 30-12-7, I think it's enough. And again, I know you're asking a lot because that tank is probably running on empty. But
yeah, I think it's an alpha mentality. It's not the alpha, though. Alpha's mentality, you know? So I don't think the mentality's there.
Well,
I'm saying, because this is what we always talk about. When it comes to down the stretch and having to rely on a guy to get 30, you know, I just think he's fading. He's tired.
Yeah, and I think if you're the Heat, as we transition to the Miami games, I think you have to have almost the same mindset as you do now of what just happened in Denver. Try to split at home. Like, obviously Spoelstra, Riley, the whole team, they want to go 2-0, which they could. There is a chance Miami could win both games at home, but I think just for the way you are and laid out everything, and, you know, Jokic probably going to have another triple-double coming up here soon, I think your goal as the Heat is to go back to Denver and make it a best out of three. So Jimmy Butler needs to have one special game in the next two, and then you make it into a three-game series where now the pressure comes to being on Denver. Like, right. This is a Miami team, Chris, who after they lost to Atlanta in the first game of the play-in was 250-1 to win the frickin' title. For whatever lucky bastards that threw down money on the Miami Heat to win the title after they lost their first playing game, please share a ticket with us. I'll take
please
$10.
Don't make another bet in your life because you just got lucky as hell if they win.
God. And you could wash the hell. You could shave the hell. You could split that. Even if you had that, and you could, that'd be a beautiful ticket to have. But, I think that, honestly, I think that Denver does kind of wake up. They have that sense of realization of, oh shit, we're in a series here. Guys, let's listen to our coach. Let's come out. So I do think Denver kind of comes out and kicks butt game three. And again, they've shown the whole playoffs they're on the road. And then I think we're going to kind of get the Jimmy Butler game four or something special.
That's desperation again. That's back against the wall again.
And again, it comes down to the mental mindset.
Let's go down 3-1 into Denver then.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of a chess match where Denver came out flat because they thought it might be a bit of a cakewalk, and they didn't play their best, but they came out flat again to their coach's mind, which you almost never hear coaches say that. And now you're going to go back.
First game, yeah, defensively.
Yeah. So I do think that we see a very focused and determined Denver. And then I do think that Miami says, okay, we'll bounce back like we've been doing all playoffs. So I'll say I think that Denver wins game three, and I think that Miami wins game four. And I do think that in that game four, you see that Jimmy Butler high class game, and then you get back to a best out of three, which I think if you're Denver, you're gotta be happy with that. Now, again, I think this is still a series that is winnable from either standpoint, but just to get on like one X's and O's here, like Miami has shown they really are a smaller team. So even though they won last night, like when you have people like Zeller guarding Jokic, like I know you have to put a body out there, but man, that Zeller, and he, give him credit, strength. They really have no answer for that guy. Like there was a couple pick and rolls in the game last night, Chris, where you see like Strus get on Jokic, and Strus literally looks like a kid who's at like playing recess where like a second grader is trying to shove a fifth grader. Like it just, you know, you can't stop the dude. And as you said, he has a kind of like herky jerky run down the lane, kind of spin it off his hands for a finger roll. Like he's at like a Chuck E. Cheese. Like, The guy makes his buckets. It almost does look effortless, especially has a height advantage. So what would you say to my prediction of Denver wins three, Miami wins four, they go back to the Mile High City with a best out of three series to determine the champions?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sold that they're going to win game three. It's also 2 days rest for Jimmy, so maybe he'll come out fresher than having a Wednesday, Friday. I don't know. But I am sold that it's 1-1. Yeah, I am there with you. I think it's 1-1. However that comes into the place. Hopefully we get I differ. I think we will get a very competitive game three, though, rather than just they just come out. And I'm not saying you're saying they're going to blow the doors off from
sure
40 to 22 in the first or something like that, although I wouldn't be shocked. But yeah, either way, however we get there, I do think it'll be 1-1. And then, like you said, the pressure. And then game six, once again, back against the wall. If it did come down to Denver wins game five, and then, you know, I just see Miami being able to do that by then. And 2 days rest does do wonders sometimes. I still don't. I wonder. So if they go 1-1, right? So is the only way Denver's going to win the, or I'm sorry, the only way Miami's going to win this series if they go 2-0 in the next two games and be up and have a closeout game in game six potentially? Is that only way you feel right now?
Yes, because I think deep down inside, if Denver flips on their A game and it's like a must win at home, I don't. And I'm not one to doubt this team because they've made a fool out of us out of the people down. But I don't think Miami wins a game seven in Denver. I think Miami's got to win these next two at home, 100%. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And I just don't know if they can with, and I'm not making excuses. This stuff happens all the time, but they have a spread scoring. Obviously, Martin played a huge role in the last one. You know, I think he averaged the most in the series. They have a spread scoring to an extent, right?
Sure.
But Jimmy's their number one, hands down, scorer, period.
Yes.
You know, if you think about it, you know, on average. So that's – I'm not sold. They would have to win the next two. But if they win game three, they're up 2-1, man. You know, then for sure it's going seven. But I have a feeling that this thing's going seven in general now based off of them winning one, only having to win one, and then maybe putting, you know, game six, like we talked about, could be an elimination game for them. And that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, that extra notch goes up. You get the 2 days off. We'll see. We'll definitely see. I will say this just for the audience so you know. If you don't see a Monday show up We're gonna do a post game show on game five next Monday. So Wednesday, Friday, and then they have 2 days off till Monday. So instead of doing, you know, the show 2-3 hours before the game tips, just to let the audience know, we will be doing a post game five right then and there. Then we'll be back, you know, normally on a normal Monday, if in fact it goes to game seven and whatnot. But I just wanted to kind of make sure everybody knew. But yeah, prediction 1-1 in the next two games.
I 100% agree. I do. And I hope it comes out right now. Personally, I want Miami to win the series. As a basketball fan, I'm pulling for them. I think that'd be awesome. But if I was in Vegas tonight and I'd throw money down, throw $100 on who wins the series, I'm still putting money on Denver. I think they got a wake up call, and I think you see that team reply with a solid answer. But again, we'll see. But yeah, I'm happy you're right, Chris. It's not 2-0, because then it's a little different of a sticky situation for the Heat.
And I love me some Jokic, but you know, I love Jimmy Butler. So same. Yeah, I'm pulling for him. I'm really pulling for him. And also, it'll give our front office and Timberwolves go, huh, let's reach any time in the future if we have a certain player that maybe he, you know, maybe he's a meanie to some people and maybe he's a tough military style guy. Oh, fucking well, dude. This is a sport. You know what I mean? Like, stop freaking, you know, I won't go any further. But yeah. I'm pulling for Jimmy, no doubt about it, but I do like this matchup from a basketball hardcore perspective. It's new, it's fresh, it's fun. We got the two leading stars, our old man game, beyond like the rainbow three, you know? It's not like Jokic is pushing up 10 threes a game or something like that. Now in the playoffs, he's been going nuts, but he's still not taking a bunch all the time. He's still got the old man game. We know Jimmy's the old man game. So that's kind of fun, too, to be like, hey, you can do other shit and be an all-purpose player and be an MVP caliber guy. So it is fun to see that. But that's all I got, sir.
Did you want to finish with news about the flat earther believer?
Oh,
and then we'll get out of
God.
Here?
Oh, my God. I mean, I'm glad that you said that, because when I saw the report about Kyrie Irving,
this
your
is a
champ,
dude who didn't talk to his whole team in the playoffs.
Right. In the finals, and this is like the third trip to the finals, and he's not happy about it. He's still pissed off in the locker room for some reason. This is Shams. Sources, Kyrie Irving has reached out to Lakers star LeBron James, which is tampering, in attempts to see if James would come to Dallas. Irving, a free agent. So you mean to tell me they're going to get LeBron? Who the fuck are they going to do a sign and trade with? Who are we going to? How do you get LeBron James to Dallas without
Luka for LeBron? LeBron.
Shit, you know, right now, if you could cash in for the future, people are like, hey, we did win a championship in 2020, dude. Let's just do it now. You know, like,
yeah,
it's just wild to think. And this is coming from Shams and other people, so it feels legit. And we also know it's Kyrie, so we know it's probably legit, you know? I mean, to sit there and think that you have a leverage to be like, hey, man, all we got to do, I'm a free agent. I'm not even – Dallas doesn't have any control of me. But what we could do is get LeBron here and have the big – it's like, dude, are you
now,
out of here?
If LeBron and Luka play together, that would be a fun-ass team to watch. I'm all in favor.
It'd be a slow-ass team to watch, too, I'll tell you that. But dude, you know that security guard that doesn't check anybody in the NFL stadiums?
Yeah.
That's what the meme was. This is LeBron, Luka, and Kyrie on defense playing with a bunch of veteran guys. It's like, yeah, that would have been their defense. You think their defense is bad now? Who would they have on their team besides those three?
Fair.
But yeah, dude, I mean, Kyrie, to think. I wonder if LeBron was like, is this wrong number, or did he delete the fucking number? Like, I'll call you in July, dude. What are you
talking?
Maybe
someone hacked his account. I bet Kyrie got hacked.
Dude, I mean, you can't make this shit up with this guy. You just can't. You really can't. We don't have the numbers viewership-wise for Game 2 yet, but the Heat's Nuggets is about 3% lower than Golden State Boston, which actually is a pretty good number considering. Yeah. You know, considering there's not a name recognition on the mainstream. A lot of people get very, you know, well, dude, calm down a little bit. You know, this is how it goes. It takes a little while to get you to be a name. But going into this, the NBA, according to Sports Media Watch, which is a great, you know, ratings source, Paulison underscore SMW on Twitter, the NBA playoffs riding high, entering the finals as three rounds are the most watched since 2012. So entering this, and then the 23 most watched games this postseason have included the Celtics, Lakers, and Warriors. So for that to be only 3% is actually a really, really good thing. And one more thing, Jokic becomes the third player in the NBA postseason history. This is ESPN stats and info. 500 points, 200 rebounds, 150 in a single playoff run. The only other players to have done that is LeBron James four times and Larry Bird once. And then on the flip side, Jimmy Butler, third player in Heat history to have 500 points, 100 rebounds, 100 assists, joining LeBron and D-Wade. So it's and actually from game one, Murray and Jokic, second pair of teammates to have 25 points and 10 assists in a finals game. The only other duo to do that was Magic Johnson and Worthy back in 1987. And I think Jokic had those 14 assists were the most for a debut in the finals, just to kind of, you know, go over some fun stats and whatnot. Tyler Hero is experiencing not just soreness, but swelling. So when you're swelling, dude, soreness is one thing when you're coming back, but when you're getting, you're having some swelling, what do you do? Is it worth bringing him off the bench just because if he's healthy?
Not if he's swelling, no.
No, I'm saying if he's healthy. Let's say game five or game six. But off the bench, you know, it doesn't mean you got to switch your starting lineup or anything.
No, yeah, you give him 5-10 minutes. If he can go and give it a go, yeah, because you've seen that this Heat team, their bench is not their strongest part. This is a fully put-together team of role players in different spots. But yeah, if he's healthy, you for sure send him out there.
All right, sir, anything else?
And on that note, thanks for the support. Like Chris said, we'll be doing a post-game show Monday. I can't wait for that. As always, stay safe, enjoy the weather outside, play some golf, have a margarita, and listen to us next week. The boys are out tonight. Peace.